I'm going to go through these questions. Let's start on some national issues, because that's these are the things we're going to be talking to all of the candidates about this week. And the economy, I want to start with, is a big concern to everybody. To sort it out before any parties make any new promises, it could be cuts to services, higher taxes, more borrowing. How would reform improve the economy?
Well, there's a lot of things we can do. I mean, the best one at the moment is if we raise the level where you start paying tax to £20,000, that would free up a lot of people's cash to start spending locally. It would also protect pensions. It would put about £1,500 a year in people's pockets, which they could then spend in the local economy, which would thereby increase traders' revenues, because there's a lot more money in the system.
Now, I know Nigel Farage has famously said he's not that the idea of reform is not to go for government, it's to go for opposition. But I want to ask you about the NHS. The NHS has got huge difficulties at the moment. Long waiting times, famously. Difficulty getting a GP appointment. Hard to find an NHS dentist. Issues with a pharmacy contract. Long waits for an ambulance in A&E. Junior doctor strikes continuing. How would reform fix the NHS, or would you?
Well, there's a number of ways they can deal with this. We can use a voucher system whereby to jump on the delays and queues waiting for NHS services is we could actually start using the private sector, pay them, rather than have people waiting in the queues. That's the quickest way to get rid of any backlog. The other thing is to have a look at the management structures of the NHS. The more money we give them, the more layers of management we seem to get. If you look at the whole thing, we've got more diversity managers, around 800, than there is neurosurgeons at about 450. Well, that doesn't really work. Like I say, the more money we keep giving to the NHS, they just find different management levels to spend it on without actually paying the nurses. When you look at some of the management allowances and payments, they're like £100,000 a year. How many nurses are actually at the front line could you get for £100,000? I mean, what makes it worse is a lot of these nurses are down near the minimum wage, and then they want to charge the nurses for parking at work. Well, that puts them below the minimum wage. The whole thing just needs, it's mismanagement. We need to look at it with sensible people who know how to run businesses, not people that are put in a position to run the NHS as a business, who've never run a business of their own, because these people just don't have the business acumen or the insight on management skills.
Would reform keep the NHS as it is? Because I know in the past, Nigel Farage has spoken maybe about moving to an American-style healthcare system where you pay insurance and move to that. Or is reform wanting to keep the NHS but just reform it?
Nothing's set in stone, OK? It needs reforming, OK? There was word the other day of the French system where you actually pay for a doctor's appointment. Now, I personally think that could be a good idea. You make an appointment, you pay £25. You don't turn up at that appointment, you forfeit your £25. If you do, then you can have it refunded, or you just leave it in the kitty for the next appointment that you might want to make.
Let's talk about schools. Schools have problems too. Staff shortages. We hear of a lack of money for essential repairs to buildings. What's your and reform's approach to education, and how would you fix some of these problems?
Right, okay. As regards to the money, a lot of these the big new schools are under PFI contracts. They were first brought in by the Conservatives, but then the Labour governments just loved it because it was taking the balance of the school debt off their books. But it's ridiculous because a £1.50 light bulb could be replaced by a caretaker who's on a wage instead to change the lighting fitting. We're paying £350 on a private finance initiative. Well, that's just costing the schools money. We should be trying to trim everything down. The whole thing, like I say, needs to be reformed because these education authorities, yet again, it's another government department that people try and run as a business. It doesn't work.
Let's talk about immigration. It's a big issue at the moment. And I know it's a one that I know your party has campaigned for. Many people think it's far too high, with particular concerns around migrants arriving in boats across the channel. But others say we need those migrants to fill jobs. What's your view?
That's interesting. When it comes to immigration, pre-2000, we had net of 45,000 peoples a year coming in, bringing their skills. Obviously, some people leave. Some British people decide to go to other countries. So immigration is not a problem, but I think the best way really... it is a problem at the moment, sorry. The best way forward with it is if we bring in a points-based system, and anybody that's illegal just gets processed and sent back. I mean, the boats at the end of the day...
Sent back where, though? To France?
Yes, because the problem is France... They're supposed to land and settle, in the true spirit of things, in the first safe country, which could be Greece, Italy. They don't. They travel all the way through Europe to get to France. Now, in the true spirit, they're not leaving a country where they're going to be persecuted. They're leaving France. So, it doesn't fit. They need to get towed back to France, or we collect them and take them back to France. Under maritime law, we can do this. It's only the French that are playing... silly beggars over this. We're giving them a lot of money, and they're actually assisting these people to leave France to come over here. You know, like we say, it needs another proper people looking at it to reform this situation.
So reform wouldn't carry on with the plan that the Conservatives have in place at the moment. I know, you know, no migrants have gone back to Rwanda, but you wouldn't continue with that.
I can't speak for absolute policy or, you know... looking at the whole thing, it just needs a good splash of common sense. I mean, we've got rules, maritime rules, where we can take them back to France. France must accept them. That's the deal. But the France are assisting them to come over here.
Let's talk about jobs. And one of the reasons, you know, some businesses say we need those migrants to fill the jobs because of the number of people that are off work and on benefits. How would reform and you get people off benefits and back into work?
Well, the £20,000 tax-free coming into that, okay. So some people can claim a lot in benefits, more than an actual job will give them. The benefit system was designed to be a bit of a safety net for when things went wrong. Unfortunately, some people don't really get any, how can I put it, they don't get the motivation to go and get a job, because if they start working over 16 hours a week, they're going to be hit with the tax. And, you know, like we initially opened the conversation with, the £20,000 threshold will then give people more incentive to go and get the job and be £50 a month better off, and within themselves they will feel better because they've gone out and they've been productive, they'll have some self-esteem, but... Like I say, the benefit system needs a complete reform. There's people that are due benefits that can't get it through stupid reasons. But then there's other people that are claiming it that aren't really due it. But we're not going to go into that today.
Let's talk about Brexit. This is one that most of the parties don't want to talk about because, of course, a lot of people are blaming Brexit for a lot of problems. Mm. What's your position on Brexit and our relationship with the EU and how we improve things?
Well... Brexit. I think the first thing the government should have done the day after the Brexiteers won the vote was to ring Nigel and actually take him on as a consultant, because he had the master plan. Everybody else that's got involved hasn't really had an appetite for Brexit for one reason or another. I mean, we've got Remainer civil servants that are just blocking things from happening. I mean, since we've left the EU, we've got other trade deals with other countries all over the world. America, Canada, if you were to buy things from America, now you're paying your tax and duty at source. It's a whole lot easier to buy stuff from the American continent. It only takes a couple of days to get it, but all tax and duties are paid for. You don't have to chase the postman and go and pay the £20 import duty. So because we've got decent... agreements with other countries, it makes things smoother. But as regards Europe, we can be friends with them, we can do trade, but nobody's happy with the deals that they've set in place. They're half-hearted.
So do you think Brexit's been a success overall?
Depends whose eyes you look through. Mixed bag. There's pros and cons to what happened. None of it, like I say, was the original idea. They should have contacted Nigel and said, right then, Nigel, you've got your own way. You spent 21 years fighting for this. You've got it. You're the guy with the plan. Let's go. Come and work for us. Show us how we do it. But they never did.
Let's talk about defence. The world has become a much more dangerous place, especially in the last 2 years. Wars in Ukraine, the Middle East, and the increasing impact of cyber attacks, of course. Our armed forces are more depleted now than they have been in the last 20 years. How would you as a party keep our country safe, and what would your proposals be to achieve that?
Right, difficult question again. This goes back to what Nigel said 10 years ago. If we start moving east, we're going to upset the Russians. There's no instant solution to this. It's going to take a lot of hard work. I think you've got me there.
Okay. Let's go more local. Okay. I want to talk about the Staffordshire Moorlands. What do you see as the specific local issues in the Staffordshire Moorlands that you'd want to tackle if you were elected as our MP? And what is it that you'd want to do as our MP if you were elected for the Moorlands?
Well, I mean, I've been into politics for quite a few years now. I got elected as a councillor as a good training ground to be a Member of Parliament. The biggest thing is I need to listen to what the people want. And I need to action that. I want people to come to me with their problems. So I can work. I love a problem. I thrive on a problem. So I need these all the people to come to me with their problems. Things that they've asked to be done previously that have just been forgotten in an inbox. I need people to come to me so I can go and represent these people. I built my own successful business from nothing. No bank loans, nothing. Sheer hard work. And that, mixed with the experiences of a councillor, gives me a bit of an head start in going down to Parliament because you know how to be persuasive, talk to people, come to me with a problem. We can work it out in a logical way. I can come back with a solution, or you can come to me with a solution with the problem, and I can go forwards and represent the people of Staffordshire Moorlands.
What do you see as those problems right now, then?
Oh, there's all sorts. Ambulance waiting times. I mean, there's solutions to that. Don't forget, it's a very big area to cover. Very rural. The usual one, potholes. I mean, I drive all over the country and, wow, you've got some good potholes over here. But then, within the Staffordshire Moorlands, we've got JCB with their nice new shiny machine that does a pothole in seconds. We need to get that out there. Another one that's quite irks me is they're trying to put solar panels on Greenbelt. Hang on a minute. You know, if they both contradict each other, because we need to keep the Greenbelt. Otherwise, towns are going to end up as big blobs built into the next town. There'll be no barrier between each town. But by the same token, they want to put solar panels in on Greenbelt. Well, hang on a minute. There are other things we could do with the UK to secure our own energy. So we wouldn't need solar panels. I mean, we put that much money into, I mean, $30 billion into net zero. Well, hang on a minute. Do we want zero waiting, you know, queues for the hospitals? Or do we want zero emissions? Well, at the moment, I think we're best focusing on getting, using all the money that we're spending on net zero into the education system, the NHS system. And there's a lot of good works could be done instead of just messing with net zero. All that money and time and effort could be put into other productive things, but then these people aren't business people.
And finally, what we're asking each of the candidates we talk to today and over the next few days is to give us in 1 minute or less a summary of why we should vote for Dave Paul and the Reform Party on the 4th of July. 1 minute or less, over to you.
Dave doesn't mess about. You come to him with a problem, it's solved. Even if he has to go and do it himself, he will go and deal with it. Like I say, I thrive on problems. Come to me with your problems. I enjoy meeting people and speaking to people and helping. That's me. I love helping. You know, I own a vehicle recovery business because it helps people. Likewise, it's just in my nature. So I think I'm the man to go and do this and go and make some noise for Staffordshire Moorlands down in the Houses of Parliament.
Dave, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
A pleasure.